Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Audio Spaz Sports, where we go in on the week's hottest sports topics. Let's go.
You are now listening to Audio Spaz Sports. But normally I have my tag team partner with me right now. But instead, I have him, but he got here to the party late. So instead, we are going to introduce the Spaz of Audio Spaz Sports. Omega, what's good, brother?
Happy New Year, sir. Happy New Year, listeners. Happy New Year to all and each and every person.
You doing all right, sir?
I'm surviving.
Say it one more time.
So I'm surviving in the 1-5.
That's all you can do sometimes.
And always, and as always, we have the other half of the co-tag team champions of the world. My tag team partner, my brother. I didn't have a tag team this week. Tango, what's good?
Well, what is half of the co-tag team champions of the world? What was
that? You know, when I said it, I was like, that's not a thing.
Yeah, look, little jumbled, I get it. But, yeah, I apologize for my ladies, but Happy New Year, gentlemen. It's good to be back after a little mini vacation.
Yeah, it's one of those, anytime we take time off, obviously, listeners, we weren't here last week because it's New Year's Eve, and usually people get dinner and all that beforehand, so we just took last week's show off. But when we miss a Wednesday, and it might just be me, you guys, but it's like on Tuesday or Monday or Friday, I'm like, I need to talk sports with my brothers right now. Like, something happened, and, like, we need to be discussing this. It never does. It always happens anytime we take a week off.
I was ready. I was ready to go. Then I remembered. I was like, ah, shit, we're not having a show this week.
Yeah.
And it was one of those where I was even thinking about it. And then I was like, and then, you know, I sent you that text. Like, I couldn't do it. But, yeah. So, everybody's New Year's was good? Tango? Omega?
Absolutely. Absolutely. How about yours?
Yeah. Mine's good. Actually, it was low-key this year. So, it didn't go out at all this year for New Year. Stayed in, relaxed, you know, that little thing. Omega, anything big for New Year?
No, I ended up working an old school R&B concert at Phillips Arena. A little taste of the Isley Brothers, Jeffrey Osborne, Drew Hill. Who else was there? A couple other acts. Couple local acts. Yeah.
But I couldn't imagine, and we're talking about sports in a second, but I couldn't imagine the same clientele or the same listeners that would want to go hear the Isley Brothers would also want to hear Drew Hill. Not to say that they both aren't great, because I think they are. I just see them two different lights. Is that weird?
No, it's not.
I can see it.
That's what happens when you get those type of lineups in the business. You get a melding of music lovers, and like you said, it's like you wouldn't think the same Drew Hill would want to go see the Isley Brothers or vice versa. But it's all good music.
Who headlined? Who's the headliner?
Isley Brothers.
And that must have been out of respect.
Was Ron out of jail?
It had to be out of respect.
Yeah.
I didn't know. That was a legitimate question because I wasn't sure.
For shame.
No, that's true. I just thought about that.
You know, because, I mean, you know, the Isley Brothers right. without Ron, I mean, you don't really want to headline that. You know, who's going to sing lead?
Nah, you don't want to see that at all, if we're being perfectly honest.
Mr.
I don't think it's Ron with the ponytail and the cane. You really don't care.
Yeah, there ain't but about two of them left. I guess Chris Jasper, if he's still with them, could have sang lead.
Mr. Biggs was there, but Jeffrey Osborne, when he came on, his mic was dead or turned down extremely low. And he started doing a call and response. I'm like, Jeffrey, nobody can hear you.
Well, I knew he was hot about that.
He's doing his half of the call and response, and the audience is like, well, luckily, they could kind of tell what was going on, because some of the audience was saying it back to him, but, like, I went upstairs.
They ain't going to woo, woo, woo with Jeff. They ain't know when the part to chime in. That's all you're looking for. When you go to a Jeffrey Osborne concert, you just waiting to woo, woo, woo with him. That's what the lady's going for.
Yeah, I know. I know he wasn't happy about that. I'm performance hate that.
Yeah, but
yeah.
They can't get
any,
all
any type of.
They generally, the true professionals don't get all upset. They just work through it. But younger artists would tend to freak out and be like, they can't hear me. Hey, all we got to do is flip a switch. We can start the song over. It's all good. Relax.
Well, let's get it.
we got a bunch of stuff to talk about. And the first thing that I think is near and dear to all of our hearts from the Audio Fast Sports crew, and you guys can share your own thoughts on the situation, but a huge rest in peace to Stuart Scott. I know personally I didn't grow up necessarily loving sports as much as I do now. I was really into school as a young kid. Like, I didn't do much. It was either video games or doing homework. There wasn't a whole bunch of sports growing up. But when I started watching SportsCenter and started watching Sports Night and saw Stuart Scott and hearing how he talked about sports, if nothing else, I wanted to talk about sports like that. I wanted to put hip-hop or a fun spin talk about something that can be kind of bland at times. As you guys know, you can watch a baseball game or a basketball game, and depending on who's calling it, you might just want to mute it and have music on in the background. But with Stuart Scott, it was never that.
Joe
it was
Buck.
Always, when is he going to...
Joe Buck.
One minute. You could meet Troy Aikman, too, if we'd be perfectly honest. But with Stuart Scott, it was always... What song is he going to reference? What new lingo is he going to use? Like booyah, nobody was saying booyah on sports highlights. And so, like I said, my Audio Fast Sports crew, rest in peace to Stuart Scott. Do you guys have any memories or thoughts towards him?
Well, I'll let Omega go first.
Again, this is you definitely hit a home run with this one. Stuart Scott, his main phrase was as cool as the other side of the pillow. And if you've never had that heat struggle in your life, when that one side of the pillow gets hot on those summer nights and you flip that one over, flip it over, it's going to be cool for a minute and much more refreshing. But I love Stu, and I saw Stu about to throw some fans at the New Orleans Super Bowl in a rear naked chokehold because they wouldn't be quiet. They had to keep starting the ESPN, had to keep starting the tape over. And Stuart's like, look, we got to get through this. We need you guys to be quiet. And all the fans got to chill it out. But yeah, he definitely brought that, the hip hop to sports, that innovator. And I'm going to miss him. But it's not booyah, it's booyah. Boom.
Yeah, that's correct.
Yow. Y-A-O-W. Booyah.
All right. I'm going to correct that right quick. The original was Booyah, Y-A-H. It was brought to the mainstream by the band called the Booyah Tribe. They were a hip-hop tribe out of L.A., bunch of Samoans, big dudes. So the correct one is Booyah, but, of course, you know Black America corrupts just about everything. And somebody, the right person said Booyah, and everybody adopted it. So, but, I mean, Stewart made it his own. And I wrote this is what I wrote on Facebook the day that Stu passed. So I remember when Stu first came on SportsCenter, when I first saw him on ESPN, and I'm like, who is this guy trying to sound cool? He's corny. But as I watched him more, I started to think, and I got it, that that's what he was doing. He was bringing that culture to the mainstream, and I embraced it along with everybody else. You know, the guy was, I mean, the guy's delivery was smooth. I mean, you know, he had a voice that you could listen to. And I think that at that point in my life, when I was younger, that's when I started really thinking about the broadcast and radio thing, because that's when I watch ESPN or when I watch news, I always used to pay attention to the person's delivery or their inflections and their catchphrases and things like that. So, you know, Stewart was a trailblazer, a pioneer, whatever superlatives you want to lay on him, I think they apply. And again, just like we won't see another Michael Jordan in our lifetimes, more than likely we probably won't see another Stu Scott, without saying that that person is trying to be like Stu Scott. So, yeah, rest in paradise, Stu Scott. I mean, I relate to his family. I lost my dad from cancer. So, I mean, you know, I'm there with it.
And real quick, Tango, if you don't mind, could you tweet the link to the show? Like I said, I can never find it until after the show is over.
Bro, you got to step your game up. I got you.
No, look, you and I discussed this. You and I discussed this, and I can't find whichever bar you're talking about.
You must step your game up, Grasshopper. You can never be a master Jedi lacking these skills.
Tweet the damn link.
Yeah, I got it, fucker.
With that being said, the only thing I ever held against Stuart Scott was the fact that he went to UNC and was a UNC alum. That's all they ever held against. Other than that, that man, like you said, Tango, I don't think there will ever be another Stuart Scott. And like you said, if anybody gets close to it, they're just the next Stuart Scott. Similar to Michael Jordan, similar to anybody who's been the best or considered the best at what they do, everybody that follows them is just a comparison. Omega, any more thoughts, sir?
Booyah.
Booyah. I feel like that's a yes. But
I didn't want to do this. Don't make me go make a vine of him saying booyah straight off of ESPN. Okay?
No. You're misunderstanding. I'm not saying that that's not what he said. I'm saying the correct pronunciation is booyah. The original is booyah. I know he said booyah. Get out of my face. Don't start
hey, Moses.
Because you're going to say something that I'm going to have to correct you on before the show is over anyway. So
Moses.
Just quit while you're ahead.
Moses, put the fan down, Moses, and just let me cook, all right? Thank you.
Oh, man. All
right. Then.
Quit while you're ahead, bro. I mean, and we still ain't got to the Picks Championship yet. So don't start with me.
Means I'm
please don't let we guys let us just get to that part and get it over with. All right.
No. We don't do this show the way we're supposed to do it.
We're gonna talk about the sports topics first, and as always, as we normally do on All Your Fast Sports, we're gonna end the show discussing the pick'ems as we normally do. We're not gonna rush over it. We're gonna give the champion's due.
Let's do it. Let's do this as cool as the other side of the pillow. Smooth, baby. Let's get it.
So, we had a great wild card weekend, but that's not what it was. In the NFL playoffs, we had a lot of controversy. We had a lot of questions. We had some subpar football play. But let's start with the big game of the weekend, and it's not because I'm a Cowboys fan. It's because the ratings say it was the biggest game of the weekend. The Dallas Cowboys at the Detroit Lions. The Cowboys ended up winning the game 24-20 with a fourth quarter or final drive stopped by the defense. Omega, since you love talking about the Cowboys as much as a Cowboys fan would want to talk about them, I'm going to let you lead off. How do you feel about the game, and then how do you feel about that call that everybody's talking about?
Well, there's several calls that everybody's talking about. The Cowboys, for all practical purposes, got the W. There's controversy in the W, but they got the W. Detroit had them down, and one thing I hate about this new year, I've seen like 10 minutes of football because I've been working since the 31st. But that's all good. They were up 14-0. I guess they kind of took their foot off the gas, let Dallas get back into the game and back into the game. Next thing you know, it was 2017, and Dallas did what they do. They ran the ball, defense. Then the referees kind of lost their mind. Outside of the holding, offensive pass interference, defensive pass interference, no call, nothing. There was another play that the NFL stepped up and said that they missed, but they were holding Ndamukong Suh on that fourth down play that they went for. I think it was 4th and 6, and they got like 19 yards to Jason Witten. But on that same play, this guy for Dallas almost RKO'd the defensive lineman from Detroit. And that wasn't called. And then there was another touchdown late in the game, I think the last touchdown in the game, where the offensive line was holding the defensive guy from Detroit again. So we all hate to say that one play doesn't end the game. But I think Detroit got hope. Like I say, all hail the Dallas Cowboys. They won the game. But you like to see a game not decided by the refs. And I think Dallas was greatly aided by the refs in this one. And then you have the superfan, Governor Chris Christie, all up in the box, missing high fives and high tens, just looking like he's really, really out of place there. Supposedly he's a lifelong Dallas Cowboys fan. But he just looked out of place. Looked like Tom Brady trying to get a high five up there. And you know, nobody high fives Tom Brady. But it was the game. But on the big play in question,
oh, go ahead.
I had a defensive hold by Kitchens. He grabbed his jersey, the jersey stretched. That's an easy flag. Then Pettigrew tried to push him away and ended up getting in his face mask. Then Kitchens went back to push his hand away and ended up pushing him in the shoulder as the ball was coming. So I would have kept the flag on the field as pass interference. And then you have Dez Bryant, the leader of the team, one of the great leaders of the team, runs a good, I'd say 10 yards onto the field without his helmet. I could have seen him not throwing the flag if he was on the sideline and complaining. But he actually ran onto the field, they could have easily flagged him for unsportsmanlike conduct. But congratulations to the Dallas Cowboys.
I'm going to go last on this topic, as expected. Dago, you're up, sir.
Okay, I agree with a lot of what Omega said. The refs pretty much shit the bed. You know what I'm saying? Especially on the sequence where it was pass interference, it was called, it was picked up, and it was picked up seemingly because Dez Bryant ran on the field protesting without his helmet. So I've never seen that in so many years of watching football. Never seen both of those calls get screwed up so bad like that. But I will say this. I mean, while it's construed that I may be a Dallas hater, I don't think that I am, but while it's construed that I am, I'm going to say this. Had Detroit done what they should have done and put the Cowboys away early in the third quarter instead of turning the ball over on the first drive, that call probably wouldn't even have been a factor in the game. You never want to let the referees decide the outcome of a game, and that is what the Detroit Lions allowed to happen. When you got your foot on the neck, you got to keep it there and press even harder. So, tough titty, try again next year.
And Caldwell should have been more on fourth and one instead of letting his punter take the ball 10 yards. If you can't get 1 yard out of Reggie Bush or out of Megatron,
you got Megatron on your team.
You can't get 1 yard, you don't deserve to win.
You got Megatron on one side, you got Golden Tate on the other. You got a quarterback you just paid a whole lot of money to not too long ago. You got to go for it. You weren't expected to win a game anyway. That's all I got to say.
All right. Let's talk about this. First off, let's talk about the call. I tweeted when the defensive interference happened. I tweeted that that flag should not be picked up. I hated that that flag was picked up because, for all intents and purposes, it was pass interference, and at the very least, like Omega said, it was defensive holding. So, as you guys say, the referees, they had a rough night. The Dez Bryant situation, that should have been a 15-yard flag. There were so many Three Stooges moments from these referees. And what's funny is Mike Pereira, who is or used to be the head of officiating, said before the game started that this crew of officials has never worked together, because what they do, they take the best officials from the regular season, grade-wise, and then they put them together. And typically, a couple of referees or officials have been in games together. This is one of those anomalies where nobody had experience working with other people, which could kind of explain how one could be talked out of leaving the flag on the field. There were holding calls they missed on both sides, in my opinion, but definitely one where Dallas committed the penalties. There were situations to where referees played a bigger part than they should. Now, with all that being said, the Detroit Lions had chances to win the game early, and they had chances to win the game late without the referees being involved. As Tango said, in the third quarter, the beginning of the third quarter, they have a tip ball interception. Now, Dallas doesn't capitalize on it, but that does take away some momentum from the Detroit Lions. But they didn't run the ball. Dallas was without their best linebacker, Rolando McClain. They was without him for three quarters. They had a fourth and one, where I think they should have went for it, not with Reggie Bush, but with Joyce Bell, who Dallas couldn't seem to slow down that much. Like, Joyce was falling forward every time. They had Matthew Stafford, who last year beat the Cowboys on a quarterback sneak for a yard. Matt Stafford's a big boy. He could quarterback sneak it. They allowed the Cowboys to score that touchdown before halftime. The Terrence Williams one, they, on some of their most important drives or most important plays, Sue wasn't even on the field. There was a big third down where he wasn't on the field.
Let me jump in for a second.
Go ahead.
Who shouldn't have been playing because of him stepping and grinding on Aaron Rodgers' leg the week before. Yeah, I don't see it, man. I mean, Cottrell even said, I don't believe that you didn't know you were stepping on this man, but I'm going to let you play because it would hurt Detroit. Too damn bad. You shouldn't be a thug.
Exactly. And I agree that Ndamukong Suh, based upon his history, that suspension should have been upheld. But that's an example right there of the NFL going back on decisions, speaking on a defensive pass interference. Dez Bryant just appealed the decision, which he shouldn't have, and he should have been flagged for it, but he appealed the decision and he won. I think Jim Caldwell, head coach of the Detroit Lions, and the Detroit Lions played a bigger role in them losing the game than the referees did. Because we all agreed that they should have went for it on 4th-and-1. We all agreed that they were up 17-7. That Dallas wasn't playing well to start the game. Their defensive line, Detroit Lions' defensive line, was beating the shit out of Tony Romo. Kept DeMarco Murray under 100 yards. Dez Bryant didn't have anything until that huge third down catch. 3rd-and-10, you let Dez Bryant get 45 yards? You have a linebacker on one-on-one coverage on one of the best receivers in the NFL on 3rd-and-10, one-on-one, not his zone, one-on-one coverage. You didn't put yourself in a position to win. You can't blame the referees. I understand that you feel like you might have gotten screwed and talking to the Detroit Lions, but when you look back at the game, you did more harm to yourself than the referees did. But you did get screwed with those calls. I'm not denying that, and I won't argue against that.
I'm so proud of you. I mean,
there we go.
I'm going to send you a pizza one of these days because I'm about to cry about that commentary. Don't talk about yourself.
There you go.
Yeah, that pizza is probably going to end up in the same place that my WWE swag did.
It's in the garage. I got you.
I was kidding. I mean, I figured you probably forgot or got busy or something. That's a situation where, you know, it's something that doesn't have to be done. If it happens, yay. If it doesn't, I get it. It's cool.
I mean, that's well played. I was actually looking at it the other day. I like the way you snuck that in. I think the 1-5 is going to be awesome for Snark on Audio Spaz.
You know, that's how we do.
I'm going to sit back in the cut.
That is what we do.
Now,
we are so snarky, we are sarcastic. We're just smart asses.
Say what, thank you?
I said, we are snarky, we are sarcastic, we are just smart asses.
Yeah. Now, with that being said, Cowboys Giants, why did I say Giants? Because they aren't relevant. Cowboys Lions game.
Oh,
I'm just thinking
like
the team
that
the Cowboys beat. Never mind. I'm thinking about teams that the Cowboys beat. Cowboys Lions game. That's over and done with. Let's go to the next most popular game of Wild Card Weekend. The Baltimore Ravens and the Pittsburgh Steelers. Now, you guys both picked the Pittsburgh Steelers to win that game. I picked the Baltimore Ravens to win it. I went out on a limb, Baltimore on the road. Tango, go ahead. How did you feel about that Steelers-Ravens game?
I mean, I was slightly disappointed. And, you know, the Steelers did some things they characteristically wouldn't have done. I mean, you know, when Heath Miller fumbles, it's a bad day for the Steelers. I picked the Steelers because I felt like I used to feel about the Denver Broncos when Shanahan was coaching them. It didn't matter what running back you put there in the backfield. The system set them up for success. And I felt that way about the Steelers. I felt like they could get it done with the running back by committee. Ben was playing great this season, but it was not to be. I mean, you know, and props to the Baltimore Ravens. But one thing I like is they gave us that always classic hard-hitting Ravens-Steelers matchup. They were laying the lumber.
Them boys hit hard. Omega, how do you feel about that Ravens-Phillies game?
I don't feel about it. The Ravens, the bane of my existence, all season long.
Why you hate the Ravens? Tell them.
Tell them why you're mad, son.
I hate them. As my mom says, I hate them with a purple passion. And they just so happen to wear purple. I don't think I got a Ravens game right this year.
So your Ravens are my Browns last year.
It might be. I think I'm gonna visit Baltimore sometime this off season and try to make peace with that organization. But if not, it very well could be.
The Browns have redeemed themselves in my eyes. It's no longer fuck the Browns.
I'm sure they have. I think they swung you back onto the road of winning in the picking. But
I get to that when we talk about that. Well, no, I can talk about it now because we're not talking about results. But that game where they went to Cincinnati and beat them, that's what turned it around for me.
Yep,
I was in last place.
That Thursday night game.
That week I was in last place and I ended up in first. After that.
Moving right along, like I tweeted you and asked you, why did you think the Ravens were going to win? You like, without Bell, they're just a whole different team. And it's like, you know, he's right. And I should have known after making the pick, I should have changed it right then. Saying, nope, they've stuck it to me all year. I should change this, but no, I'm going to go with the sorry-ass Pittsburgh Steelers. And then Ben is going to have the nerve to say, write a letter, apologize. I'm sorry, I should have played better. Well, no shit. Ben,
I'm about to do something.
The number one running back of all time, LeGarrette Blount, was watching the game like, hee, 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 hee.
Good job.
Cut me, will you? I got something for you.
Yeah, and LeGarrette may end up getting the ultimate revenge, the ultimate fuck you to the Steelers. He might get a Super Bowl ring behind this shit.
Well, when we go to the pick-ems, as Coach Lee Corso likes to say, not so fast, my friend.
Ah.
All right, well, now Tango and I know who to pick. I'm about to do something that I rarely do on Audio Fast Sports. And we're talking about the Ravens Steelers. The Ravens might be that 2007-2011 New York Giants team. And I'm giving the Giants team credit because during the regular season, you never believe in this team much. The Giants you didn't in those 2 years, and the Ravens you didn't any year. Because in the regular season, they play down to the competition. They lose games they shouldn't lose. Joe Flacco will go out there and look no better than Eli Manning at times. Their defense will disappear. Terrell Suggs will disappear for a game or two. But when it's time for the playoffs, when the games really matter, the Baltimore Ravens are fire.
That's when
the
Joe
Baltimore Ravens
elite.
That's what I'm saying.
Joe,
I don't like the fact that you said he looks Joe Flacco looks no better than Eli Manning. That's actually a compliment because Eli Manning is elite. y'all can feel the sarcasm dripping off that, right?
Yeah. Hence you say elite and not elite. But when it gets to the playoffs, Joe Flacco shows up. The receivers show up. So on top of Le'Veon Bell not being in for the Steelers, I didn't believe in this Steelers team because they had a lot more terrible losses on their resume than Baltimore did. And I believe that without Le'Veon Bell and with Joe Flacco being as cool as the other side of the pillow when it comes to the playoffs, that there was no question. It was never a doubt in my mind that the Baltimore Ravens were going to win that game. and that the Baltimore Ravens will be a tough out for the rest of these playoffs. My question to the Pittsburgh Steelers is, you tried to establish a running game with Ben Tate, and this speaks to Tango's point about he used to trust the Steelers, and no matter what running back you had back there, you could just plug and play. Ben Tate, in the 2014 season, had been cut three times. In 17 weeks of football, he had been cut three times. Ben Tate was on a team for the first time in his free agent contract to start the season. He had been released. So what was Pittsburgh thinking when they thought they could establish a run game with Benjamin Tate, a player that the Vikings cut, a player that the Browns cut, and then somebody else cut. I forget who the third team was.
Well, let me stop you there, Prince. I don't believe that the Steelers thought that they could, quote unquote, establish a running game. I think that they thought, and I think that I thought, I mean, we all thought as well, it would be the attempts that counted to try to keep their defense honest. You know, just to keep it in their heads. Well, they might run the ball. They're going to run the ball, so we got to honor that because it is Pittsburgh. You know, how many times have we seen a running back come out of nowhere, no name guy, and just kill in their first couple of games with the Steelers?
All right.
So you do have to honor that. So I think they were thinking in terms of the attempts. They didn't expect big things out of Ben Tate. And I think that we trusted the Steelers that with the attempts and with the adjustments that they would have to make, they would know what adjustments to make. We trusted that Dick LeBeau's defense would be able to keep it close. And, again, none of that stuff was the case. I mean, I'm kind of disappointed because I was really, really believing in Tomlin and LeBeau. So, yeah. Well, it ain't to be. Try again next year. Them too.
I just, ever since Todd Haley came to the Steelers, that whole mantra of running the ball, build a run game, just hasn't seemed to be there. This was a game where I think, because the Ravens' defense can be had passing the ball. Their secondary is nothing to fear at all.
They're
that's
actually
the
getting
last
healthy,
thing.
Though.
Well, that's true. But that's the last thing an opposing coach game plans for. They game plan for Flacco, for Suggs, for Nada, for Jacoby Jones and special teams, because he's dangerous. But their secondary, even at full strength, isn't terrifying. They could be passed on. And Ben Roethlisberger has Marcus Wheaton and Antonio Brown. I almost said Mike Wallace. Antonio Brown, Heath Miller, they've been passing all year. And now you get to the playoffs, you want to establish a running. Even with Le'Veon Bell, he was catching a lot of balls off the backfield. I just hate how they got into the playoffs and decided they want to establish a running game with a three-time cut running back instead of playing to their strengths. And that's giving Antonio Brown 116 catches in this one game, because that's what they should have done at home. They should feel ashamed. They should be embarrassed that they lost that game at home.
I would venture to say they probably are. I mean, not that they lost it, but in the fashion that they lost it.
And we're going to talk more about Joe Flacco and the Baltimore Ravens moving forward in the playoffs, because obviously Omega has hinted toward where he might be leaning when we talk about this weekend games. But we still have two more games to talk about.
Don't try to read my mind, Blackie.
let's talk about this other NFC game. Oh my God! 2015, the peace and chill only lasted so long with you.
Call him black, you know.
We got the Panthers and the Cardinals in the wild card game that nobody really cared that much about. But we had to watch it. They had to play it. Omega, what are your thoughts about the Panthers Cardinals game?
Again, I might have thought about, hey, put yourself on mute, Tango. Mute yourself if you can't control yourself, sir.
Okay, I'm sorry.
So anyway, like I said, I might have thought about 3 minutes of that game. But I'm happy for the Panthers. They've taken a step, even though they took a step against a wounded team, that bad man coach with the Kango, Bruce Arians. I still think if he would have won it backwards, that he would have got a little more out of
you
season.
You picked against him. I thought about that after the game started. You picked against Bruce Arians.
Oh, I didn't think they were going to win.
I know, but you hadn't picked against them in a while.
Yeah, because I needed them to do a couple. When we talk about the pick, I got all discombobulated, and like I said, me and Sweaty had broke up for a while. Things just weren't going good, so, you know. But other than that, the Panthers did what they had to do. I think Cam is growing up as a quarterback and taking more control of the games and lessening his mistakes. I know what, the Riverboat Gambler better get somebody back there who can catch punts and field punts or get away from him, just get away from him, or if he's going to be looking like Jim Harbaugh against the Giants. Once you see that punt returner make a mistake, one mistake, sit him down. Put him at the far end of the bench. Because it's detrimental to your going forward.
Now,
I don't think I have enough to beat Seattle. But drop a punt return, drop a kick.
And that's kind of my question to you, Omega. Do you think Carolina, and I'm going to ask this question to Tango too, do you think Carolina more so won that game because they're becoming a good team towards the end of the season? Or do you think that it was just a good matchup for them playing against a team on the third string quarterback at home?
I think that they could have beat Stanton in the game. Now, a healthy Carson Palmer, I don't know. But I think they would have beat Stanton as well because they won their last five of their last six games. So they were coming on. They were doing what they wanted to do with teams. But it's kind of hard to beat anybody. And that's kudos to Bruce Arians and that football team to go in 11-5 with your fourth-string quarterback. But, yeah, I think they played well. It wasn't so much the fact that they had a third-string, fourth-string quarterback. I think they played well enough to earn a victory. To not have any shade for who.
All right, Tango, how'd you feel about the Cardinals-Panthers game?
I think they won the game. I mean, I think the Panthers, and you made reference to the Ravens as that team that could get hot in the postseason. I'm thinking that the Panthers are that team that nobody in the NFC wants to play. I mean, Seattle can say what they want. They can show you confidence, but I can guarantee you they're concerned about that team coming in there and pulling off the upset. They ain't got nothing to lose. They're playing with house money because nobody thought they were supposed to be in the playoffs anyway at one point this season. I think the turning point for Carolina, and I'm going to sound like a homer, but the game on Monday night where they got smoked by my Philadelphia Eagles at home, I think it woke them up, pissed them off, did something, because all of a sudden they started looking like the old Carolina Panthers after that. The running game was there. Cam did his thing. Even when he went down, Derek Anderson held it down for him. So, again, like I said, if I was a member of the Seahawks, I wouldn't be too cocky about this game coming up.
So you believe that no matter – well, let me ask you. Do you believe that no matter who the quarterback was for Arizona this past weekend, Carolina would have walked away with the victory?
I got a feeling that they might have. I mean – I'm going to agree with Omega. They probably would have beaten Stanton. And even a healthy Carson Palmer. I mean, again, Carolina's defense ain't that bad. They're pretty good. And I believe it would have kept them in the game. And Carson Palmer don't play defense. So it ain't like he was going to affect what Cam Newton and that offense would have done.
Well, Carson doesn't play anything thanks to the curse of chill. And if you don't.
When I listen to curse of chill,
as soon as Clint says he doesn't have faith in somebody, they seem to go down with any kind of injuries, but it's going to be season ending.
So that's not true. That's not true because he said he didn't have faith in Mark Sanchez. And he didn't go down with injury, and he played pretty decent.
But he went down, though, didn't he? What happened to the
– He went down. All right.
It's like the Madden curse. Make the cover.
You know what? So let me ask you this, Omega.
Sir?
Can we call the curse just for fun? Can we call that curse the Black Plague?
Well played. Well played.
Oh, man. I think I second the motion. I second the motion.
Motion is carried. Let's get it.
Let's get it.
Well played. I will be handing out mutes around like I'm Oprah Winfrey. Now, this is the first topic of the night where I disagree with you guys wholeheartedly. This Panthers team is not a team to be feared, in my opinion. They're not a team to feel threatened by. Tango, you brought up the fact that when the Eagles beat the dog shit out of the Panthers, that's when they turned the season around. Well, the very next week, they lost to the Falcons at home. And then the week after that, they lost by 18 to the Minnesota Vikings.
It was a process.
If they didn't think it was the Vikings' ass whooping that turned them around. But, so, what did these teams have in common? The New Orleans Saints, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the Cleveland Browns, and the Atlanta Falcons.
They all got
none of them are playing this weekend. Say what? They all got a white quarterback, they said?
I don't know.
Those are the four teams that the Panthers ended their season beating. Not a single team out of those four I named were any good this year. None of them. I don't think any of them were .500 to end the season. Those are the four teams. And then the Carolina Panthers get to play Ryan Lindley, the backup quarterback, no healthy Andre Ellison. There's no way, in my opinion, if Carson Palmer plays that game, that Carolina's in the game. I think Carolina is is lucky enough to have played such a cake schedule to end their season. I don't believe in these Panthers. Cam Newton, in my opinion, did not look good last weekend. He just came off of that car accident, and it's amazing that he's even out on the football field because his truck flipped a couple times. It's amazing he's even playing. He did not look healthy out there. And you expect him to look like that or play like that against Bruce Irvin and those Seattle Seahawks? I'm not going to give away the results.
I've got to be Chris and Chill right here. What's that noise? What is that noise? And I hear it every week, Tango, I swear it's you vaping. Different company.
Tango doing something.
Admit it.
Tango, noise?
So now on top of a Vine hater, you're a vapor hater.
Oh, I don't hate Vine. I love Vine.
Oh, are you vaping? That's what that is.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
You'd be glad I'm vaping.
But
8 months. Eight months on cigarettes.
Back, congratulations on that.
I'm like, are you
vaping? But back to what I'm saying.
Okay, fine.
The Panthers, I think the Panthers probably would have lost to every other team that played this weekend outside of the Cardinals, AFC teams included. I think they were the second worst team coming into the playoffs, AFC, NFC included. And now with them beating the worst team, they are now the worst team left in the playoffs. I can't think of one thing they do on that team that's elite. Not running the ball. They run the ball well. Not elite. Their defense isn't elite like it was last year. Their rookie, not the rookie, their second year, D. Lyman broke his leg, so he's out. Star Lupe Lupe, however you say his last name, he's out. Their wide receivers are consistent. Ted Ginn isn't consistent. And special teams, there's nothing about the Panthers team to fear. I don't believe
you know
in
what?
Any of them.
You know what, though? Those are the teams that usually make noise because they ain't got nothing to lose. And teams take them light when they come in.
Well, they got one thing to lose, the game this week. And
this is why. This is one reason why the 9-7 New York Giants won a Super Bowl. This is one reason why the 9-7 Arizona Cardinals almost won a Super Bowl against the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Well,
because you got to respect any team that makes the playoffs because they can anything can happen. All you got to do is get in. Anything can happen.
You don't sound like you respected the Cardinals.
Any given Sunday, I absolutely did because the defense is good, and they got Larry Fitzgerald. I mean, you know, and you can be a 10th string quarterback if you can throw the ball in the vicinity of Larry Fitzgerald, you can do all right.
And guess what Ryan Lindley can't do?
He didn't get it done then. He didn't get it done. He didn't do what he should have done.
Those nine and seven Cardinals had an elite quarterback who was second in MVP that year and an elite wide receiver in Larry Fitzgerald that year. Those 9-7 Giants had the best D-line in football, had statistically the best defense in football. The Panthers have none of the above. Riverboat Ron, are you really trusting the gambler? Are you really trusting Cam Newton, if we're being honest here? Well, actually, no, don't answer that because we're going to talk about that a little bit later.
That's what I was about to say. We'll find that out.
To sum up the Panthers-Cardinals game, the Panthers got lucky that they played the Cardinals and didn't play anybody else. Moving on to
the
final.
I'll bet they would have
beat
the Cowboys.
Shit. And I don't even talk like that.
I had to poke the bear one time.
Without missing a beat. Shit. all right, anyway.
That's the equivalent of my, you're stupid.
No, I'm not.
That was a good one, though. All right, so moving on to the last wild card game. We have the Indianapolis Colts at home versus the Cincinnati Bengals. Omega, what were your thoughts on that game, sir?
Again, I went through some personal problems with my girl Sweaty, and I picked Cincinnati. I figured at least one time they could be who they aren't and win a game, but luck was luck, and Dalton was Dalton, and that's all I have to say about that.
All right, there you go, Colts Bengals.
Well,
your thoughts?
We know we're not counting the postseason picks in the pick'ems, but I believe that if I'm not mistaken, we both went 3-1 on the week.
I went 4-0. You went 3-1.
You went 4-0. I went 3-1, and I believe we have a third place in that.
Oh yeah. Yeah, let's go back to that. Tango, don't speak on the game yet. Omega, what makes you think – I forgot about that. Why did you pick the Bengals over the Colts? What was it that led you to believe the Bengals had a shot?
I just told you, sometime in this regime, they have to win a playoff game. I forgot that A.J. Green was hurt, and then – Gresham was hurt. Then I forgot Dalton was Dalton. So that was fine. That's fine. And then me and Sweaty, I had a little upheaval at the end of 2014, man. You know, I'm off my game. Cut me some slack.
All right, Tango, you're up. Go ahead, finish your talk.
What we're missing in that explanation from Omega is the fact that Andrew Luck tends to play well at home in the playoffs, and that is what I hung my hat on when I picked the Colts. That and nothing more. I knew that when you came down to it, it came down to the quarterbacks for me. Andrew Luck at home versus Andy Dalton on the road, bruh. Too easy.
That sums it up right there, because it almost didn't matter who the Bengals were playing. Once they had that wild card spot and didn't have the AFC North crown, so they get to play at home, it almost didn't matter who they were playing against. I might have picked Carolina to beat them if it was in Carolina. I might have done it. Because Andy Dalton on the road versus Andy Dalton at home, which, let's be honest here, Andy Dalton at home isn't spectacular, but he is he's better than average. He's good. He's pretty good at home. On the road? Oh, Jesus. He played like it's a whole different – the team itself, they play horrible. It was the easiest pick of the weekend to pick the Colts to beat the Bengals. A, like Tango said, Andrew Luck at home on that dome field, that turf is ridiculous. He plays well at home. He puts up numbers. He can lead a team to at least one victory. And that's what's going to happen because he doesn't have a lot of supporting cast around him where he doesn't need to do everything. The defense isn't great. The running backs, when they had Ahmad Bradshaw, they had a running game, but Boom Heron from Ohio State, he puts the ball on the ground. Trent Richardson, career highs, like 12 yards, I think. Andrew Luck has to play lights out for them to win, and he can give you a game where he's going to do that. So without it, it was an easy game. My question to you guys is, should Marvin Lewis be fired? Because like Omega said, he picked them because at some point in this regime, they should have won or should win a playoff game, but they haven't. There is a player, Trey Kirkland, I think, is a cornerback for the Bengals. The Bengals haven't won a playoff game since he was 3 years old, 1990. Is it time for Marvin Lewis to go? Has he reached the apex of where he could take this state? Omega.
No, it's not time for Marvin Lewis to go. You got to look at where the Bengals were before they got him. And year in and year out, he's one of the 12 best coaches, or he has the 12th best record in football, at least the 12th best, for the last 4 years, 4 or 5 years. So, no, don't get rid of him, but something's got to change.
All right, and remember, if they don't get rid of Marvin Lewis, they just paid Andy Dalton all that money, so they got him for at least 3 more years. Tango, what do you think about Marvin Lewis's job security?
Hey, what you doing now?
I'm going to disagree with Omega, and I'm going to say that this question is being asked probably about 5 years too late.
What?
Marvin Lewis has demonstrated repeatedly that he cannot win the big one. He has demonstrated lack of control of those players on regular occasions. They had a run where it seemed like every week a Cincinnati Bengals player was being arrested for something.
Every
week. I don't think the discipline is there, and I still don't think it is. I think that the front office stepped in and told these guys that you know, you guys got to chill, or you know, stuff's going to happen. You know, I don't think that Marvin Lewis is that guy. I'm not saying he's a bad coach. I just don't think he's the coach for the Bengals anymore. I think he's a defensive coordinator. I really don't think he's a head coach. I never have.
I partially agree with – I agree with Tega more than Omega, but I think that Marvin Lewis could possibly still be a head coach. He needs a fresh start. He has to get from this – from under this organization, and this organization needs to go in a new direction. Marvin Lewis had his best chance when he had Carson Palmer, Chad Johnson, T.J. Huchmanzada, and that type. In fact, one could argue you had that trio in today's NFL, especially since it's a passers league, they would easily be one of the top three teams in the AFC week, year in and year out. With Ocho's great route running and TJ's athletic ability and how he was bigger than most corners and more athletic than most corners, that was Marvin's best chance. There's no way you're going to make me believe that an Andy Dalton team is going to prosper in the playoffs. Not when they have to run up against Joe Flacco's and Andrew Luck's and Tom Brady's and Peyton Manning's and Ben Roethlisberger's. I think both situations need a fresh start. I think Marvin Lewis needs to leave, maybe take a year out, do some work with Fox, CBS or something, and then get a new start 2 years down the road. And I think the Bengals, they need a new start. After a certain point, and I know this being a Virginia Tech football fan, you reach your ceiling with the same head coach. Texas did it with Mac Brown. Texas did it with Mac. Listen, you know what? Side note. Virginia Tech looked the best it's looked all season when Frank Beamer had his old ass in the skybox and Shane Beamer was on the field coaching in the bowl game. Just putting that out there. Just putting it out there. When the players had a new voice, heard a new voice, they played better. And I think that could be the situation in Cincinnati. I think everybody needs a clean break. And those are all my thoughts. Any more thoughts on the weekend's game, this past weekend's games?
Did we hit all the games?
Yeah, we hit all four.
I'm good. I'm good. But I will say this, though. Prince, you just going to have to be mad, bro, because Beamer ain't going nowhere. He's going to die a Hokie.
Yeah, I think they just gave him the – I think they just crowned him. I heard somewhere on the TV, like, Beamer is just re-upped for another 8,000 years or something like that.
Coach for life.
And I immediately thought of you. I'm like, oh, he's not going to like this.
He's coached it through, like, 2019 or 2020. The contract extension was like 2019 or some shit like that.
For life.
I was talking to somebody online, I think, and I was thinking that the Le'Veon Bell hit and injury might be akin to the Carson Palmer injury. And it's funny that Pittsburgh is involved in both of those. Like you just said, the best chance they had was with Carson and Ocho.
Yeah.
And they knocked him, Pittsburgh knocked him out with a hit. Le'Veon Bell got knocked out, and Pittsburgh got knocked out.
Yeah, and, I mean, just to take it a step further, Le'Veon Bell, as far as we know, is an Adrian Peterson. So injuries are tough to come back from, especially running back. So that's why Ndamukong Suh probably felt as much pain as he did when the Lions lost to the Cowboys, because you never know when you're going to be back in this situation. You never know.
Yeah.
And
I meant to mention that. This cat going around stomping people out ain't going to get on TV and cry because he lost the game. Yo, African joke. Man, bingo. On TV crying. Go step on somebody. Stop that damn crying.
All right, real quick. Real quick, let's see.
He ain't stepping on nobody till training camp.
Yeah. I won't say that to his face.
Let's keep it moving. Since we did just talk a little bit about Virginia Tech, let's talk about college football. The college football playoff happened last week before we start talking about next weekend's NFL games. The college football playoffs happened last week on New Year's Day. Florida State matched up with Oregon. Alabama matched up Ohio State. Florida State got the breaks the beat off of them. Florida State gave me my most Luke Vine that I've ever had with over 13,000 loops.
Not according to Jameis. According to Jameis, they didn't get the beat, break the beat off of them.
By the way, you're welcome for that.
I appreciate it to all the people that revived that. I appreciate it. I was checking like a thirsty girl checking Instagram likes.
Yeah. I looked at your followers, and I gotta believe that's directly related to me reviving that.
And Twitter, and I rarely put them on Twitter, and I put that one on Twitter too.
Yeah, that was on time because that was the first that I had seen of that moment, and anybody interpreting what Jimbo Fisher actually said. It was definitely rewind worthy. I mean, kudos to Prince for the quickness.
Yeah, nigga, I hit pause on that TV and got up on that TV quick. Now, let's talk about that, because that incident, in case you guys don't know what you're referring to, Jameis Winston went back for a pass, he dodged a couple of tacklers, and then ended up fumbling on his own, more or less. He fell and threw the ball backwards. Oregon picked it up, ran in for a touchdown. He came off
scoop
the field.
And score.
Scoop and score. Him and Coach Fisher were having an exchange. Jameis was very excited, was very animated.
And he was spazzing
Jimbo
me fuck
Fisher,
out, is what he was.
Jimbo Fisher, in the calmest of voices, goes, "Hey, Jameis, if you don't calm the fuck down, I'm going to sit you on the bench, or you're going to sit on the bench." Do you think, A, that was an empty threat, and B, do you think it was deserved? Omega.
No, I don't think it was an empty threat at all, and it was 100% deserved. Because if the game had been closer, I would have sworn that rumor that he was fixing games was true. I've never seen a fumble like that in my life. I've been on this earth for 7 decades. I haven't seen a fumble like that.
Omega, please don't lie to the people ahead of thinking that you're a senior citizen.
I didn't say I was a senior citizen. I just said I've been on this earth for 7 decades.
7 decades. And how did you do that? How did you pull that off?
As have you.
You say seven.
I've been on this earth for 7 decades. I'm trying to figure the math out on that one.
Let me do the math right quick. It might be 6.5. But anyway, move on to something else.
Tango, what are your thoughts on that Florida State-Oregon game?
I will agree, man. Jimbo Fisher is a great coach. And of course, they set Jameis down once already when he got suspended. And Jimbo took issue with Jameis for dressing for that game anyway. He ripped him for that. So I don't think it was an empty threat. I think he would have sat him down. And it was deserved because, you're the quarterback. You're the leader of the team, but you're not the leader of that head coach. So you can't run up on him talking to him any kind of way. Especially when everybody and their mother knows that you're probably leaving after that game anyway. So it ain't like Fisher got to hang his future on Jameis coming back and playing for him or not playing for him.
Until he announced it today that he was declaring for the draft, I wouldn't have put it past him to go back to Florida State.
But he didn't. So yeah, I think it was well deserved. I mean, you gotta keep yourself established as a coach, which is a manager or a boss. It's the equivalent. You can't have your employees talking to you any kind of way. If you don't calm the fuck down, you're going to the bench. Period. You see Jameis calm that ass down, right?
And the whooping kept commencing.
But it doesn't matter because Oregon fucked him right in the pussy anyway.
Well played. Do you think that Oregon, because in the press conference after the game, Jameis Winston said that Florida State beat themselves. That's what it came down to. Oregon didn't beat Florida State. Florida State beat themselves. Do you guys feel that Oregon is the better team, not was the better team on that night, because we all know that to be the case. If Oregon and Florida State play 10 times on a neutral field, how many times do you think Oregon would beat Florida State? Omega.
7, or if not 8 times. Mariota's no joke, bruh.
All right, Tango.
I think 2 weeks ago we went over his stats. He's had like 3 interceptions. Matter of fact, he's had 3 interceptions,
yep,
and 6 total turnovers.
Yep.
Out of 56 touchdowns.
He's had like 12 turnovers his 3 years at Oregon with over 100 touchdowns.
Yeah. 7 out of 10.
All right, Tango.
I'm going to agree. I'll give him 6 to 7. I'm leaning toward the 7 side because Florida State, while they can score, they can't score like Oregon does. I mean, that's a track meet every time those guys step on the field. And eliminate the defenses. Florida State would not be able to outscore Oregon more than 3 times out of 10. Just saying, they ain't having it. It's just
all right,
too much speed going on.
All right. Now, moving on. In the second game of the night, Alabama lost to Ohio State. Real quick, just thoughts on that game. Omega.
I had a feeling that Ohio State's going to win that game, too. That's what we should have did. I would have been all right in these pick-ems. It's just Urban Meyer, again, is no joke. How many? He has 2 national championships himself?
Yep.
The Herb is not a sucker. And then Cardale Jones, Mr. I didn't come to school to school. I came to school to play football. 6'4", 250. A bad man. They say he should go to the draft.
I bet you he looks good at the combine if he does go in the draft. Tango, what are your thoughts on the Ohio State-Alabama game?
I'm going to call that man by his deserved nickname, 12 Gauge. I mean, what Ohio State has done this season is nothing. I mean, I don't care what happens on Monday. What they have done this season is nothing short of amazing. They opened the season with a loss to Princeton's Virginia Tech Hokies.
At home,
and you know, the first string quarterback went down, then the second string quarterback went down. I mean, if you didn't think it was over after the first game, everybody thought it was over after their second string quarterback went down, but it wasn't. They got in the playoff, and they showed amazing resolve in coming back from behind and beating a championship caliber Alabama Crimson Tide. Nick Saban, I mean, we talk about Urban ain't no joke, but Nick Saban is damn near coaching college god.
Yep.
So, I mean, you know, for them to pull that off against a team of that caliber with a third-string quarterback, nothing short of amazing. I'm so impressed with the Ohio State Buckeyes. It's not even funny.
So amazing to be loved.
All right, and so – and moving on to Monday, we'll all make pick'ems for this. The national championship game, we have Oregon versus Ohio State. Who you guys got? Omega.
I got Oregon 72-69.5.
All right, Tango. Who you got? Oregon or Ohio State?
Again, it's a track meet when those ducks step on the field. And I don't know if there's any teams that can score with them. The only way Oregon gets beat is if they beat themselves and turn the ball over. So I'm going with
and they don't do that often. All right, I'm going with Ohio State. Urban Meyer. I'm a sucker for coaches. I'm a sucker for coaches that's done it before. Like Omega said, I'm going with Ohio State. Now, let's go ahead and do this because we have 15 minutes left on the show.
I wish I had a fanfare soundbite.
Well, you don't.
Let's go ahead and crown. Let's go ahead and crown that champion.
So, shit. Every week, the Audio Stats Sports panel picks every NFL game. Every game comes one victory. We don't do points like they do at Fox or CBS or anything like that. We pick every single game. And at the end of the year, whoever has picked the most games correct is that year's Pick'em champion with whatever nickname they deserve. They feel like demon themselves. It's good to say that on today we can retire Pickmaster J. I don't have to hear that again. Yeah. See that a hashtag.
That ain't retired. That's dead and buried.
With that said, let's run down the numbers. In third place, I would give Omega credit. Omega came in third place. I would give him credit. Week 17. He reached in that toilet and found every piece of shit and threw it against the wall, hoping that something would stay on that damn wall. It was boom or bust week 17. He went into week 17 down by six games. He needed to get seven right. And I'll be goddamned if he didn't try his damnedest. Coming in third place, after a week where he had a 7-9 record, because he tried to go for the victory, as you should. Omega came in third place with 159 victories.
Woohoo!
The Hail Mary fell short.
Way short. Way.
Coming in second place for the fourth year in a row.
There's something to be said for consistency. There is something to be said for consistency.
You like the Buffalo Bills of this show. You know that, right?
Yeah, that's really – I'm Jim Kelly. I'm going to change my Twitter name to Jim Kelly. Chill Kelly. No, I keep that to Chip Kelly. I have, after an 11-5 week 17, consistent throughout the season, I ended up with 168 victories.
None of them.
And now, coming to the champion, the champion, the title holder, the main eventer, the show
the money
stopper,
folder.
The
big
headliner, Tango. Tango had a rough start to the year, or not to start, around week three or four.
It was roller coaster.
It went bad for him.
Yeah, it was
he
roller coaster.
He was down
I started
from
off,
first place by as many as four games.
Yeah.
Tango won the league. Tango won the league by four games. Tango ended. Tango ended the season, week 17, with his best season. With his best week of year.
That's how winners close.
14-2 in week 17.
That's how winners close, baby. That's how winners close.
Only losing two games that should have went the other way anyway. Buffalo shouldn't have beat New England. Kansas City shouldn't have beat San Diego.
True.
Tango should have went 16-0. He should have went 16-0 in week 17. Tom Brady let him down.
It
did. Phillip Rivers let him down.
I was shocked and appalled.
The 2014 Audio Fast Forwards Pick'em Champion, Thug Rockstar, a.k.a. Tango, a.k.a. the president of Black Twitter, a.k.a. the terrible terrorist, a.k.a. the awesome anarchist. Go ahead and take a victory lap, sir.
Oh, man, I'm going to say this. I'm going to keep it short. And I'm not gonna gloat. It was a great season. And, again, like I said, 159, even last place, 159 wins is not bad at all. Not at all. So, I mean, you know, you guys made it. It was a challenge. I mean, I went from the penthouse to the outhouse, back to the penthouse. And three out of four ain't bad. But this was by far the most challenging one that I've had in the 4 years of doing these picks. So, I mean, you guys, I mean, that's salute to you guys, because I really had to go do my homework and think about what I'm doing when I pick these games with you guys, because you guys are pretty damn awesome at it. So, for that, I thank you guys for making me step my game up.
Now, just out of curiosity, how did you do against the expert picks from NFL if you did that again this year?
Well, I couldn't pick against the insiders because, for some reason, Inside NFL didn't have the picks on Showtime.com. So, but, I mean, hell, I mean, I beat them. We all beat them pretty much every year.
Yeah.
At least one of them.
Last year, we all beat them last year.
At least one of them, and I think that a lot of that is because they know too much. Sometimes you can have too much information and it makes you overthink things. And I think that's why regular guys like us tend to do better than the experts, quote unquote, when it comes to these things. But my thing wasn't the guys on TV. My thing is who I was checking for, you guys, because you guys, again, like I said, you guys do your homework, you know what you're talking about, which forces me to do my homework. And, you know, I took a couple shots in the dark, I ain't going to lie. Like the game that turned around for me, the Browns at the Bengals, that was pretty much a shot in the dark. I had a feeling. I went on a hunch. But,
yep.
You know, again, like I said, it's always great doing this with you guys.
All right. Now, with that being said, Omega, myself, because we did not win the pick'em, we must change our avatar to a Philadelphia Eagle logo, correct?
I ain't going to
yes.
do it.
Is that the logo of choosing?
It is. Would y'all like me to pick one for you, or are you getting your own?
I think we're capable.
I'll find a dope one. Like, I'm not going to Now, my question to you, Tango, and it's up to you, and I'll understand, I can wait until the Cowboys are no longer in the playoffs to change my avatar.
Hell
I don't
no.
change anything
oh,
about life.
Yeah. Hell
you
no.
Know what? Until.
Not just,
this has nothing to do with you.
Well, allow me to speak for him as well. Not just no. Not just hell no. But oh, baby, fuck no. Hey,
I
got nothing to do with nothing.
You can't win.
I mean, if you thought your team was that damn good, it wouldn't matter what you change your attitude. I don't think they're that good. So I mean, don't hang your hat on luck and the possibility that you might jinx them.
Hey, that's what happens. I've watched for shits and giggles. I've watched seven Cowboys games with the same person, and they're 7-0 when we watch games together.
Well, then, Abby shouldn't have nothing to do with it then. As long as you watch it with that person, you'll be all right.
Hey, I'm not going to argue it. I just simply made the request, and you denied the request.
We shit can that request. You don't know unless you ask, though. Let's pick this week's games right quick.
All right. So, yeah, because we only have a couple of minutes left. So, let's jump into the first game, which is the Saturday early game.
What?
The,
I was about to say, what?
They're playing in London? They're playing in London. The Baltimore Ravens are traveling to New England. Omega, who you got?
The Ravens are 2-1 the last three times they played at Foxborough. And it wouldn't be 3-0 if Lee Evans didn't drop the ball in the end zone. So I'm going with the Ravens.
All right, Tango.
I mean, I know what's happened, but again, I'm not betting against Brady and Foxborough when it's cold. And it's cold as hell up there. And it's going to be cold as hell up there.
All right. And I'm also going with the Patriots, even though I feel like Baltimore could give a scare or will give a scare. All right. Saturday night, we got the Carolina Panthers going to Seattle to face the Seahawks. Omega, who you got?
Beast mode.
All right. Simple enough. Tango.
I said the Panthers was a team that nobody wants to play, and that Seattle should not be cocky, but they're still going to win this game. Seahawks.
All right. And I also have the Seahawks. I don't think it's going to be close. The betting line is Seahawks favored by 11. I think they win by at least 14. All right.
I wouldn't go ahead.
Moving on to the Sunday early game. We got the Dallas Cowboys traveling to Lambeau to face the Green Bay Packers. Omega, who you got? We're just going in the same order every game. Omega, who
if
you got?
Aaron
Cowboys
stays healthy, if Aaron Rodgers stays healthy, Packers. If he is hurt,
all right,
Cowboys.
All
but
right, Tango.
Who's pick the Packers?
Peter Piper picked Peppers and Rung Rock Rhymes. I'm taking the Packers in this game.
All right. This is nothing but, since nothing else is on the line, this is a homer pick. I'm going with the Cowboys to upset and Green Bay. Homer pick,
never,
nothing more, nothing less.
You cannot bet against the bad man in Lambeau this time of year.
Aaron Rodgers has went the full NFL season without turning the ball, throwing an interception in Lambeau. So there's that. And our Sunday night game, or Sunday afternoon game, I guess, 4 o'clock, is the Colts traveling to Denver. Who do you have, Omega?
Oh, man.
All right. Tango, who you got?
Now, Omega, you do realize that you can't make up no more games, right? You got to stop this stabbing.
I'm aware of that.
I'm just saying, I mean, Andrew Luck at home in the playoffs, pretty much money. On the road, not so much. Peyton Manning at home in the regular season, money. In the playoffs, not necessarily so much. Tough pick, but I got to go with the home team and the better quarterback. Peyton Manning and the Broncos.
All right, I'm also going with the Broncos because they actually run the ball now with C.J. Anderson, and the Colts, if nothing else, can't stop the run. All right, with that being said, we have 2 minutes left, or less than 2 minutes left. The new Abby's for Twitter will be up tomorrow morning. Your first tweet on Thursday needs to have a Philadelphia Eagles logo. And they stay up. Until Audio Fast Sports next Wednesday.
Whatever.
All right.
Oh,
three out of four, baby.
Congratulations to Tango
for winning the championship this year. Congratulations. One more piece of sports information. Congratulations to Craig Biggio, John Smoltz, Randy Johnson, and Pedro Martinez. The 2015 Baseball Hall of Fame class.
Oh, yeah. Congratulations.
Fuck the Baseball Hall of Fame class. So we can talk about that next week, too, why I don't give a damn about the Baseball Hall of Fame class. That might be a rant of the week. Now we have 35 seconds left. Omega, how can people reach you? 30 seconds.
Find me on Twitter at Omega Ichabod.
All right. We'll just leave it there. As always, Prince of Chill. Twitter and Vine. Tango.
Thug Rock Star, Twitter, Vine, Instagram. Hit me up.
All right. See you next week, January 14th. We'll be back at 7 o'clock tomorrow night. Audio Spaz Radio's back. First show 2015. Thug Rock Star, DJ Tenacious, and that light skinned chick.
Miss Oso Happy.
Peace out, guys.
We out. Peace.